If you love this podcast and IPR, you probably know that it's fueled by listener dollars. Hi, I'm Rick Brewer, a talk show producer at Iowa Public Radio. And part of my job is connecting with Iowans who have stories to tell. When you contribute to IPR, you help make that possible. Membership contributions make up 57% of IPR's budget. That's huge and amazing. So do your part to support the podcast and programs you enjoy. Go to iowapublicradio.org and tap the red donate button. Thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Rochelle Chase is an author and a journalist. She's written romance novels and two nonfiction books about Buxton, Iowa, a fully racially integrated coal mining community that thrived in the early part of the 20th century. The books are Lost Buxton and Creating the Black Utopia of Buxton, Iowa. She has now founded a new nonprofit called Uniting Through History and has launched a contest called Hip History in an effort to bring the history of Buxton, Iowa to life. Rochelle is on the line with me. Hello, Rochelle.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And of course, the two of us have talked a lot about Buxton, Iowa on this program in the past. But let's do just a very brief refresher for people who aren't familiar with the history of Buxton, Iowa, which is a town that has really captivated you, and telling the story of Buxton has really become a mission for you. Tell us briefly just a little bit about Buxton.
Yeah, Buxton was a coal mining town here in Iowa that was established in 1900 by the Consolidation Coal Company, which was owned by the Chicago Northwestern Railroad. But what was really most amazing about the town was the fact, as you said, that it was integrated, that for most of its existence, it had between 40 to 50% of the population was African American. And not only were they treated equal, they were leaders in the community, doctors, lawyers, dentists, pharmacy techs, owners, real estate owners, and more. And the town was about 5,000 people and was reputed to be the largest unincorporated town in the country at that time.
So let's talk about your new nonprofit, because as I mentioned, I mean, you've been telling the history of Buxton for a long time now, and it has something that you are using to connect with people in some new and exciting ways. And that is what your nonprofit has grown out of. What is your mission with Uniting Through History?
Well, Uniting Through History, it's kind of been, I think, kind of an evolution of things. But the mission is really to further the acceptance of and the pride in the fact that Black history is American history. And I wanted to do this by providing ways that people can really, like, immerse themselves in the history, that they can connect with it. So you can really say, aha, I get it. And I think that kind of furthers it, this belief and the fact that Black history is American history.
This past year has really galvanized you in a lot of ways. Tell me about how the murder of George Floyd is connected to what you're doing in this moment.
Yeah, I think it started. It's interesting. I'm kind of a private person. And when the murder of George Floyd happened, I had created this video, which for me on YouTube, which for me was kind of a big deal, because I was just, you know, saying how tired and sad and angry I was about this same disregard for Black lives, you know, just happening over and over again. And I was just questioning, you know, that belief that stuck, that Black people and Black lives are worthless for 400 years. And so, and then I was going into how this whole, the fact that we've never been taught the worth of Black lives, not that you ever should have to be taught it, but it's the contributions that Black people have made to this country during slavery. There were countless inventions, both enslaved and free Black Americans. I mean, all of this has never been taught. And so when I was looking at this and I was, you know, watching things unfold yet again, I was like, I want to see what I can do to incorporate that into, you know, into my mission, into what I'm doing. How can I help to amplify the voices of others that are sharing this history, that are writing about it? What can I do? And so that's really kind of the focus, or how that kind of changed my mission for Uniting Through History.
And tell me about what you are hoping to do. This is a very new organization, and I understand that you will come up with new ideas and things will evolve over time. But tell me a little bit about the mission of the organization.
Yeah, the mission is to find these creative ways to immerse people in the history, because I want people to, like I said, really connect with the experiences of Black Americans. And so some of the projects, I was starting with Buxton because I have, you know, as you have said, spent so much time and in that, to use those to further the awareness, but also to start moving into other areas as well. So from a Buxton standpoint, as you mentioned, there's a hip history contest, which is for middle school and high school students to bring the story of Buxton alive by using an excerpt and using video, be it a dance routine, a song, a little skit, artwork, somehow bring Buxton alive in a way that people can really see it and connect with it. And as a result, there's a panel of celebrity judges, of which I am thrilled that you are one, that will be looking at the finalist entries. And then there's the final prizes, which are the final student prizes for first place in middle school and high school category is $2,000 in each. And then there's different prizes throughout.
Yeah, so that's so exciting. Kind of that's a really significant opportunity for a young person who may be thinking about college or, you know, thinking about many of the other things they want to do in life. How are you getting word out? You said for middle school and high school students, how are you getting word out to young people that they can participate in this?
Well, we will be starting a social media push this week. There's also reaching out to educators and such, you know, directly that we know that are on the list. We actually, Brianna Oxley at Roosevelt School, middle school, has been, I met her through the Emerge Training for Women, and she was using hip hop to teach her in her history classes. And I said, oh, you know what? I'm doing this contest. You'd be a great one to talk to about this since you're actually doing something similar. And so she has actually rolled that out to the eighth grade students there at Roosevelt. So there's about 125 of them, not sure how many of them will actually enter, but that's a significant audience as well. And so we are just getting the word out to school districts because we think that, you know, teachers are also looking for creative things to do during this pandemic. And this would be something fun that they could do with their classes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is the timeline for students who want to be involved?
For students who want to be involved, the contest is actually open now, meaning they can submit entries anytime between now and April 12th, I believe. And then at that time, then we'll go on to the selection period of people actually being able to, you know, the finalists narrowing it down and such. That's through April 21st. And all of this information is at unitingthroughhistory.org. I'm trying to get also a sample entry up there that I'm creating. It's been a little stressful because I'm like, okay, I have no talent, but I'm trying to show you that it's not about having acting talent or, you know, it's about creativity. It's about coming up with a unique thing, a unique way of spreading this history. So I'm trying to get that sample entry up there as well, to give students an idea of, you know, something that they could create. But there are some examples there, questions to get them started, images they can use. There's a checklist to make it real easy. So, yeah, we tried to make it easy. Oh, and there's $100 to the first student who gets their submits their entry and they followed the rules and it's posted.
Oh, wow. So it pays to be the early bird in this case. I mean, this really sounds like a great spring break project, or especially for students who are learning online and maybe feeling a little disconnected. This might be a really wonderful way for them to do something creative and connect with a new community. Is it just for Iowa students?
No, it's nationwide. As long as it's in the country, we aren't set up to accept entries out of the country. But yes, it is beyond Iowa. We want the world to know about Buxton.
Well, this is exciting, and I'm very flattered that you invited me to be a judge. I don't think hip is actually part of my resume, but I'm excited about history. I can tell you that much. You have some other projects that you're working on through Uniting Through History as well. Tell me a little bit about your history book club.
Yeah, the history book club. It's kind of similar, I think, to your book club in that in terms of why I started it was because I have an interest in, you know, my to-be-read stack is growing, you know, with history books on, you know, the Black experience and contributions and such. So I thought, I want to, you know, it'll give me incentive to read it. So I started the History Book Club with that in mind, and eventually we'll expand to, you know, people of color as well, broaden it. But the scope right now is more on the Black experience for obvious reasons. And so we started with Vanguard, how Black women broke barriers, won the vote, and insisted on equality for all. So that's our March book. And we figured that was timely, given the, you know, the strides that Black women have made in politics, especially even, you know, recently. And so that's our first book for March. And we'll be doing some fun things. We'll have our meeting at the end of March on the 31st at 7 p.m. via Zoom. We want everybody to dress in white, you know, to the Zoom call for suffrage. We'll take a photo. But I wanted to also make it an active thing where it's not just reading a book. People need to think about, we're hoping, as you read this, you know, what can I do? What can I do to further the lessons learned here, to further, you know, what I've learned here, the knowledge here? What can I do to make a difference related to this? So we're hoping with each book, it will result in action for people reading them.
Have you already planned out your reading for the year? Is this something that you're going to decide month by month?
Well, we have decided a couple of books. However, I'm opening it up to some feedback from people in terms of what they would like to read as well. I will be publishing that schedule probably next month. But right now, we're open to suggestions as well.
All right. And people can just send suggestions through your website, right? Again, Uniting History,
yep.
Or UnitingThroughHistory.org.
Yep.
You also have your Main Street 360 project. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, excited about that one, too. That one, in partnering with the University of Northern Iowa, Bettina Fabos there, we're creating this, taking again Buxton again, and creating this kind of 360 view, like a Google Street View, but broadening that more, expanding upon that, and making it so using old photographs, you get this experience of walking through Buxton, of really experiencing what that's like. So that's something that we're really excited about working on as well.
Rochelle, as I mentioned, you have really dug into the history of Buxton and devoted so much of your energy to sharing that history. You are not from Iowa originally. We captured you on your way through. But tell me again a little bit about how you connected with this history.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I was writing romance, and my romance writing instructor at the time, this is when I was still learning, had introduced me to, as we became friends, she invited me to Iowa, said, I've got this great town or what's left of it that you should see. And so we had become friends, and I came and I visited, and I saw that what was left, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like Iowa's best kept secret, one of many. I was like, I just couldn't get it out of my mind. I was like, no, I'd never heard of it. I was living in San Francisco and traveling around at the time. And so I just started researching it. Every time I visited her, I would research and research. And again, by this time, I had several romance novels that had been published. So I didn't know what I was going to do with this research, but I just couldn't stop. And so then I said, you know what, I've got to move to Iowa. If I move to Iowa, I can actually write a book on Buxton. And so that's what I did in 2014. I moved here. I started doing all this research in 2008. And then Lost Buxton was released in 2019. And then Creating the Black Utopia of Buxton, Iowa was released in Lost Buxton 2017, Creating in 2019.
And you have, for the last several years, you've been doing programs about Buxton and just really continuing to share this story. You've made a lot of connections with Iowans who have connections to this history of Buxton, but also people who just get excited about the history of Buxton. What do you think it is about Buxton, Iowa, a town that is no longer there, that really ignites this passion?
Well, I think it's two things. I think some of it's the same passion I have. I think there's the amazement that it existed, that such a town so ahead of its time, both in terms of the coal mining town itself and, of course, the equality and equity of African Americans there as well. I think that fact is very interesting to people, and you know, wow, I can't believe it. And second, I think it makes people feel good. It gives them hope, you know, that there was this time, this town, of relative unity and harmony. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean it didn't have its problems. But for, you know, for the time that this existed, so I think people like that story. They like that part of it too, where it was a success story, and especially given that time.
It's also a story that there are times when I think about Buxton, Iowa, and the community that thrived there, and I think, how did we lose that? How are we in so many ways so far away from what seemed simple and natural in Buxton? Do you get frustrated?
Oh, yeah. Well, most definitely. Definitely frustrated about, you know, things. In some ways, it just feels like we're losing, you know, some of that forward momentum that we had gained. So I definitely get frustrated about that. And, you know, in terms of the town, when you look at, you know, why it was successful, I still haven't figured out why exactly, you know, the founders of both Buxton and Muchie, the predecessor of Buxton, Muchikanic, you know, why they did it specifically. But when you look at the reason, to me, it succeeded, because Buxton was also unique when you look at what was going on in Iowa at that time. It's not like Iowa was so welcoming to African Americans either, and ready to, you know, integrate everything and do the same thing that Buxton was doing. So when you look at the fact that it existed and why it was successful, you know, it really stemmed, I think, from leadership. It really stemmed from the leadership in the town, you know, the founders and the superintendent, and the leadership of the people. You know, the Buxtons had, and the McNeils before them, had said that, you know, this is the way it's going to be. And you have management, you have it coming from the top, that this is the way it's going to be, and we're not going to accept things that are going to be different, that are going to be otherwise. And then you have the people there that are given equal access to resources, equal pay, equal jobs. You have this thriving community where it's plentiful, and there's no need to be competing for necessities or having one group of people treated, you know, unfairly and not the other group. And so you have that, and people able to rise to leadership positions and lead the community. So you've got that going on. And
Rochelle,
then you have African Americans there.
We're out of time, but there's so much to talk about. And I want to direct everybody to unitingthroughhistory.org to find out more. This is Talk of Iowa.